Welcome to the Lister Health Talks podcast. Each month, listen in as the team focuses their discussion on relevant, relatable health content that empowers your health and the readiness of the force. Today, we're talking health and fitness. Join us as we uncover actionable strategies for prioritizing your well-being, no matter your age or current fitness level, and creating a foundation for a long, healthy, and fulfilling journey. Let's get started.
Hello, Fort Rucker. This is Lieutenant Colonel Leah Stetter, the Commander and Director of Lister Army Health Clinic, and I'd like to welcome everyone to Lister Health Talks. Welcome back. It's been a little while since we've been together. For today's podcast, I am joined by our Chief of Physical Therapy, Captain Nichelle Pasco, and our Deputy Commander of Administration, Major Matthew Woods. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm really excited about today's episode. Today, we're diving into what truly drives long-term performance. It's not just fitness or physical training, not just nutrition, but full spectrum wellness. Longevity isn't about surviving longer. It's about performing longer. It's about building a body, a mindset, and a daily routine that lets you show up stronger at 40 and 50 and beyond. Oftentimes, especially in the Army, we very much focus on PT season and also how much weight can we lift at a given time. I know I work out different now than I did when I was in my 20s. And today, we're really going to dive into some of the differences and what that looks like. As you get older, you start thinking that what you're doing today is actually going to help you 20 years from now. So before we get started, I'm going to have our guests introduce themselves. Matt, why don't we start with you?
I'm Matt Woods. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. I have a wife of 22 years and a son who's 4 years old, been in the military for 18 and a half years, and I love everything outdoors.
Welcome to your first podcast with Lister. We're excited to have you, and we're excited that you are part of Team Lister. And Shelley, will you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, so I am from the D.C. area. I grew up a Navy brat. My husband, John, and I are high school sweethearts, played basketball together growing up, and we have two wonderful kids, twins actually. They're 18 months old, and they keep us very active, as I'm sure a lot of you fellow parents know about. And I will be getting out of the Army soon, but I will be hopefully continuing to contribute to our spine program and studies that are happening with USERL and all the aviation community to help our soldiers and aviators stay healthy.
That's great. Thank you both for joining us today. I think today's podcast, we've got some exciting information for everyone. When I joined the Army roughly 20 years ago, I remember I wanted to lift heavy, push hard, and chase numbers. And for the first 10 years, that's what I did. But it came with wear and tear. Back pain, shoulder issues. Luckily, I don't have knee problems, but many of my peers do. They don't just come from age. They come from years of pushing without balance. The reality is we all work long hours. In aviation, sustainment, or healthcare, we don't always get the same training block as maneuver units, infantry units, or special ops units. That means we've got to train smarter and balance nutrition against crazy schedules. Matt, when you started your Army career, what was your approach to training and how has it evolved?
Well, I enjoyed group training. And so I was forced in ROTC and as an enlisted service member to do group PT training. And so it was a forced thing as I've grown up and have transitioned to officership. It's all on my own time. And so I have to carve out time in a very busy schedule to make sure that I train personally and then take care of my family as well. So a lot of my older friends, when I was younger, they were cycling, they were swimming, and I was always thinking, why are they not running? We're supposed to run. This is the PT test. And as I've understood how I need to manage the energy and efficiency of my body, I've also moved to some of those low impact activities as well. More cycling, a little more walking, swimming, and then just the alternative things, kayaking and hiking and things like that, that are a little less strenuous on the body.
Sure. And I think just getting outside and movement is important. But Shelley, you probably have a very different perspective because you came into the Army trained with what to do and what not to do. You haven't been in long enough like us to really have the wear and tear on your body yet. But what would you recommend and should we be training different depending on our age group?
Well, I think there's some interesting stuff that's come out in the past probably 10 to 20 years about how the most important thing we can continue to do, especially if we're females as we get older, our bone density is a bit less naturally. And so what we're finding is that maintaining some form of resistance training as we get older is so important. That doesn't mean maintaining your CrossFit workouts every single day, even after the age of 35. That's probably not the best and most balanced way to do it. But resistance training is something specifically where you're putting a load on your body and you're using your muscles to move the load. So that can be anything from, yeah, if you like to lift weights, that's great. But also such things like Major Woods was talking about, like even there's various forms of outdoor activities like rock climbing that could be construed as resistance training, right? You're moving your body. That is a heavy load. You're moving it a certain distance. So that's the most important thing we've found to maintain bone density, because as we get older, we have falls as the one of the biggest mortality factors. So if we have low bone density and we fall and our bone isn't used to that impact, we're just at more risk of bad things happening, especially as we get older. So that's the number one thing I would say. Resistance training is probably the most important thing to maintain. But I think you said it. A lot of times when we're doing something every single day and it's the same type of activity, it's not necessarily the best thing for our body. Now, some people are just built differently. So for those of us in the Army, especially those of us in healthcare with weird shifts, our times and work hours might be very different. Even if we are not in healthcare, maybe we are at the flight line, we're air traffic controllers. The most important thing is balance. So if you like to run, if you like to kayak, that's all those types of activities are some form of cardio, some form of aerobic conditioning. And so the recommendation is you do something like that. I believe it's about 30 minutes three times a week. So 150 minutes, give or take, is probably the ideal range of aerobic activity each week. Resistance training 3 days a week. And then the biggest thing that they've put out recently has been flexibility training. And as a PT, that's where I like to educate people a lot more, because I think that's just not done a lot for most of us in our day-to-day schedules. It's really nice when you have someone telling you what to stretch, but to come up with it on your own, to carve out times in your schedule like Major Wood is talking about, that's really difficult to do.
Thank you very much. Now, you mentioned flexibility and also mobility. They are tenets of fitness, are they not?
Yes, ma'am, they are. They absolutely are.
So I think in the military, especially the Army, a lot of us get fixated on our PT test score, and that's really all we think about training for. But and that, again, especially when you're first joining the military at 18 and in your 20s, but I don't think everyone thinks about longevity. So you mentioned stretching, which is not everyone's favorite. It's definitely not my favorite to do, but it is so important. Do you normally see people before their injury gets bad or after it's hit the max? And what would you recommend?
I think for those of us who probably were in longer, are in longer, we typically see them by the time it's hit, probably the worst it's going to get. They're in just bad shape. They've been in pain for a long time. But I think we're seeing younger soldiers probably coming in a bit sooner. And I think that's part just probably like education. And I think PT is better marketed nowadays. I just think it's like a cultural thing. But overall, we see a lot more people coming in after they've been injured for a while. And so it does take a little bit more resiliency an effort to kind of get back to a place where they can participate in the things that they enjoy and be active.
I know you mentioned the stigma, but I think the Army in particular, bringing in H2F to a lot of units is making it a lot, normalizing it a lot more and really encouraging it.
Definitely.
I myself need to get in to see you.
I'll hold you to that.
Ma'am, you mentioned H2F, like the holistic health and fitness, and I kind of focus on that holistic word. And so it's interesting because we're in the military, I mean, we're training for something. We're always trying to be ready and prepared to deploy. And so we're training to specifically address that. I've seen a growing trend of people saying that if you want to be healthy long and to the end of your life, is just being active every day. Just you can be specific and have a regimen, as Captain Pasco mentioned. But I mean, I've seen where you can just garden and you just walk. I watched a YouTube channel, you know, just the other day. And it was a 103-year-old woman, and she walked a kilometer a day with a cane. And then she was picking up her eggs, just bending over and reaching and grabbing eggs. And these are all things that you wouldn't think of, but it's kind of this functional fitness, quote unquote. Just keeping that in mind of, okay, I'm training now, but you can also train that way for the military. You don't have to train for the PT test or the AFT. How am I going to pick somebody up? How am I going to carry somebody or something so far? And it, you can just kind of reframe the way that you train in that way.
No, absolutely. And you mentioned being outside and gardening, but a key aspect, especially with jobs like ours, is that you need to make sure you're moving. If we don't actually plan it and force it, then we might not be getting that 10,000 steps a day or the things. Shelley, can you give our listeners some tips? Talk a lot about different age categories, but the reality is it does changed with age. Can you give our listeners from, say, like anywhere from 20 to 80 some different tips mm-hmm. and tricks to keep moving during the day?
Definitely. I think we found that we have a very high capacity to build muscle more easily early on. And so there are a lot of different ideas about if building the max amount of muscle you possibly can until like around age 40 and 50, we do see that it's probably very beneficial for us. And building muscle, again, does not have to be going to the gym and lifting weights a crazy amount. Hmm. A lot of people are really into alternate lifting techniques. So there are strongman activities and lifting techniques that you can do, which essentially just means you're moving heavy, large, odd objects around, and you're building muscle. So I like to say, if you have kids, that is probably one of the easiest ways to build muscle and consider yourself a strongman, intermediary, or beginner. And all that is to say, because you're picking up randomly sized large objects that are heavy, picking them up, putting them back down. So strength, building strength early on, usually between the ages of, I'm in a group age just like 20 to 40, 20 to 50 is really key, but also having some form of conditioning in there. So you should be able to walk 2 to 3 miles at a good clip. And that's very good for just your generalized aerobic capacity. We have a certain heart rate range that's really good for us to make sure that we can reach. A lot of us, if you think about it, usually those of us who are still active duty, so I would say under the age of like 60, if we go out and run, if I was 20 years old and I just go out for a run, I have an easier time keeping my heart rate lower in a lower heart rate zone. Whereas now when I go out and run, just like a nice easy run, whether it's a company run or something, or run with my husband, and my heart rate jumps up a little bit higher, a lot faster. And that's not necessarily bad, but what that does mean is my heart is working a lot harder, but I'm going a nice, easy pace. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes if you go out on a walk, you wanna be able to keep your heart rate slightly lower than it should be. And so I think sometimes I tell people, just go out and walk around the building during your lunch break. You know, you have 10 minutes, that's all you have. Go walk around the building. Mm-hmm. Just making sure your heart rate can handle those nice, easy, low loads of aerobic capacity is very good at just maintaining good heart health. Mm-hmm. And that's easy to do. The second thing I'll probably say is mobility. As a PT, I think if we get to age 50, 60, we're starting to look at retirement. We're starting to really look at like getting out of the workforce. Around that time, our kids are getting older. Maybe they start to have grandkids. You know, I find a lot of my patients having a hard time like getting onto the ground and playing with their grandkids, even as a parent. Like, that's hard for me sometimes still. So I think that's the third thing is make sure that you can get on and off the ground without any assistance, maybe just once a day. Just try it. There's a lot of interesting research recently about that is actually a predictor of fall risk, which makes sense, right? If you have decreased mobility, it's difficult for you to get up off the ground. If you do fall, you know, there's more likelihood of bad things to happen. So, and tripping, things like that. So that's an easy enough exercise. There's some cool things you can probably research out on the internet about that, that some PTs have done and looked into. But try getting onto the ground, sit on your bottom, and then stand back up without using your hands, without trying to use a chair or any other object to help you. And that's a really good predictor in looking at your hip mobility, ankle mobility, lower body strength. So if you wanted to see where you're at today, go and try that and see where you are.
We'll be trying after this.
I tried this morning, actually. That's a morning ritual because I came across some sort of research a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And they said the first thing you should do is just get on the ground in the morning. So that's what I do. I just get out of bed, go downstairs, get on the ground, and start kind of moving around, wake the body up, and then get up,
Is the 10,000 steps a day a myth?
I wouldn't say so.
Or is it probably recommended for...
I think it's recommended, but I also think you can still be healthy and not get 10,000 steps in during your day, because it does take time. Like, that's a lot of... time, you know, is valuable as well. Sure. But the research they did on that, I have to look back on it, but I think specifically... Obviously, when you get to that number of steps per day, substantial improvement in overall body health, heart health. So it's a good goal, I think that's a wonderful goal, especially if you don't have time to make a crazy regimen. Mm-hmm. You know, your busy work life, busy family life. That's an awesome, easy, singular goal to focus on that incorporates walking around work, yeah. walking upstairs, walking to from the grocery store, everything like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned mobility a lot and getting on and off the floor. I know that this isn't exactly tied to mobility, but you've created a spinal resiliency program very much tied to the Army aviation community, just due to the large number of, not necessarily injuries, but it takes a lot to be mm-hmm. on an aircraft with all the equipment. But that doesn't necessarily just apply to aviators. Your program can apply to everyone.
Yes, absolutely. I think we made it with the goal that, yes, it is. It's tangible and effective for not just aviators and crew members and those who find themselves in the aircraft, but it's for anyone. And if you think about 21st century, the amount of time we spend sitting is ridiculous. And I know that there's a lot of things out there that have published this, but we spend an average, in some ways, I believe it's 7.9 hours a day sitting.
Golly.
An average. And we spend an average of 24 minutes in an extended upright position. And if you think about how our bodies were made, we have these strong spines that were built to withstand gravity in standing. But we weren't really made evolved. We weren't built that way or evolved that way to just sit. And so I think that's just an easy enough reason to think about why we have so many, not necessarily just injuries, but pain that's associated with sitting. So not just aviators, not just pilots and crew members and air traffic controllers, but anyone who finds themselves sitting, which is all of us during the course of a day, even if you don't have a sedentary job, you know, you are still sitting in the car. If you drive to and from work, when you go home, you sit in a chair and eat, you sit on your couch to relax.
So true.
Everything is built around sitting. And so oftentimes when people come in, that's the first thing I like to address is let's just change the way we sit. There are so many different ways to sit. A lot of people in the Eastern countries, so we think about Asia, a lot of them eat, whether it's on the ground or on cushions on the ground. They tend to have, when you look at nursing homes over there, they actually have the beds that are still on the ground. And so senior citizens and the elderly are able to get up off the ground. So tying back into what we talked about earlier. So the spine resiliency program is built with a lot of mobility factors. Yes. So it's helping our spines make sure we can move into all ranges of motion, but it's also helping build endurance and strength because we sit so much. So it kind of takes into account, what do we need to do to mitigate the effects of sitting? And when we sit, we can all of us and all of you listening can just think about, if you are sitting right now, imagine like there's a string tied to the top of your head and it's pulling you up to the ceiling. So as soon as we do that, I get uncomfortable kind of quickly. But when you sit there for a moment, my back feels a little better, my neck feels a little better, and then just relax again and sit back down in your seat. So that is like the number one thing we think about, is the position of your spine being pulled up to the ceiling, kind of rocking your hips forward, puts everything into a more neutral position. So your muscles aren't quite so lengthened around your back, which overstretches them. It actually helps your core turn back on. So a lot of that just positional mechanics is huge. And hopefully with these exercises, it adds to that, right? So it hopefully makes those positions, if you do need to sit for your job, it makes it a lot more comfortable and it doesn't make it so detrimental to be sitting.
There are so many other tools out there today, like walking pads or standing desks that definitely help with that.
And if you're not familiar with our spine resiliency program, it consists of two separate videos, 30-minute workout videos that are available on YouTube. You can scan our QR codes that we have posted across social media and the Lister website. But those two videos, you get to see my beautiful face guiding you through these workout videos, just as if you were a patient or in one of our exercise classes. And those exercises, I show you all different types of modifications. So, you know, if you are currently having pain and some of those positions aren't comfortable, and it just helps incorporate mobility exercises, endurance exercises, and some strengthening exercises in a very, I would say, cohesive way There's also a list of those exercises. So if you don't have time, you can jump around between the different parts of the video. Mm-hmm. So you can just find the ones that maybe you've forgotten or you found to be most beneficial.
I appreciate you doing them. I started looking at one of those this weekend and it was helpful. Thank you.
Of course. Of course. And we originally made them to be focused specifically for aviators and crew members. But obviously, as we built it up, we realized that those were the most cohesive exercises that we prescribe, not just for that demographic, but for anyone who would come into the clinic. And so we are hoping to actually use those, that program and that platform, and we're using that as part of a study, a validation study, with our research lab, USERL, that does all the research for Army Aviation, so we can create data to support the use of a standardized program specifically for aviators. As we know, health and holistic fitness is coming to the aviation world. If you look at other branches, such as Air Force, they have specific programs, like an H2F program for their aviators. Oh. And so we want to be able to do that for our small population, because we know that the demands of an aviator versus someone in cavalry or someone in light infantry, we know it's a bit different. And so we want to make sure we can have those programs a bit more individualized to the demands of their job.
Thank you for sharing all that. As Matt said, the spinal program is great. I've used it a few times myself. A lot of what we've talked about today has been deliberate planning and moving mm-hmm. and making sure we move. But there are days that there might be no time to exercise or even get outdoors. But can you go over some techniques that for days that are busy that folks should think about?
Yes, absolutely. And I think the one thing I recommend starting with is easy, just whatever you can do to make your posture more upright. So lots of times I say just grab a hand towel from home and roll it up and stick it down in the small of your back and sit back as far as you can in the chair. Oftentimes that's the first thing, just kind of puts your hips and back in just better alignment. If you think about setting yourself maybe just a timer between your meetings, every hour, stand up and sit back down. Hmm. Maybe do that 5 times. Maybe do a little chair squats. Maybe you take your hands to the front of your desk, your steering wheel, wherever you happen to be sitting, and pull yourself forward like you're arching your back, stretching your shoulders out, and do that a couple times. I know a lot of us, you know, I had some ankle issues, so a lot of times also just pumping your feet and doing little heel raises while you're sitting in your chair. There's a lot of good research about blood flow. So if you think about that is kind of a good key term overarching everything. What can you do to increase blood flow on days you don't have time to exercise? So that is literally taking deep breaths, maybe 5 deep belly breaths every hour, standing up, pumping your ankles, and maybe it's reaching out to the sky like you do the overhead stretch with your hands. Easy, easy things that are still good for your body. The worst thing we could do is go through a work day and just say, I don't even have any time to work out, therefore it is not worth moving at all. Mm-hmm. And I would like to say, as a PT especially, that is not true. You can be very good to your body. You can still be fit, be active by just maintaining good activity throughout the day. And that just means changing your position.
Thank you very much. All of this is very useful. I definitely think, and in today's society, more so than 20 years ago, I do think people are looking more for longevity. It's not just about physical training. It's holistic health, which arguably just as important, if not more important, is how we fuel our bodies and mm-hmm. nutrition. Mm-hmm. Matt, could you tell us a little bit about your thoughts and how you've changed, or tips and tricks
sure.
that you employ?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I'm 41 years old now. And so I remember when I was 20, 21, because I was in the Army at 18, and I was eating a bunch of donuts at some event. And one of my friends, who was probably my age now, was like, that will catch up with you. You need to watch yourself. And I mean, I enjoyed like a long period of time where that didn't catch up to me. And I had to like reframe everything, like, I don't know, 5 years ago, because it started to catch up. And so I started like looking at books and just, you know, watching YouTube, or they have documentaries online and mm-hmm. things like this. And so the way that I eat now is, I mean, obviously very different, a lot less sweets. I have a sweet tooth, but a lot less sweets and a lot more deliberate putting of plants and whole foods and whole grains, you know, that sort of stuff. Mm. And then at home specifically, actually, when we moved from Texas to here, one of the goals that we had was to make more meals at home and make it from scratch. And so an example is I was with my mom this weekend, and, you know, we buy almond milk. She had this cool, like, make your own almond milk machine.
Whoa.
And you just take raw almonds, a little salt, some dates, and there was one vanilla, which was optional. Anyway, then you just make almond milk. And it was done in about a minute and a half. And it was super good. But I knew what was in it. Mm-hmm. There were almonds, and it was salt, and it was vanilla, and it was dates. And that was it. And then I went home and looked at the label on the almond milk that's in the fridge and was like, I have no idea what that is. I don't know what that is. And so it's just more awareness as I've grown older to like what's in the stuff that I'm eating and what do I want to put into my body, and because it will manifest itself in one way or another as I get older. And you know, there's just a growing movement of put more life into your body, you know, plants that are alive and raw and things like that, and you'll have more life and be more lively. Mm-hmm. So
it's very interesting now, both working out and eating, you think about what 20 years is going to look like instead of how today feels or maybe tomorrow morning.
Well, I was with my great aunt who's 91 this weekend as well, and she, when we met her, she was bouncing around in the pool at my uncle's house, just moving around, bouncing around. And then when we got out of the pool, she had one of the stationary pedal things. And so when she was sitting on the couch, she was pedaling. She was just constantly moving and doing stuff. It was really cool.
Goals.
Hashtag 91 yes. years old. Yeah, yeah.
So, Shelley, what are your thoughts on some simple daily food habits that may have the strongest impact on long-term health?
Well, I think sometimes either we just don't fuel appropriately. And so, like Major Woods was saying, even just knowing that whole foods are going into your diet is probably the most important thing. A lot of times, like recently, for instance, there's like a big movement about protein, and you just got to get as much protein as possibly can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that.
And, you know, we have all these different like popular fads, like there's the paleo diet, there's keto, there's all this other stuff. But if you really look at like the common, in my opinion, the bulk of the common trends between them is like real whole and densely nutritious food. Yeah. So there are some things like really, you know, we have like very, very a lot of protein that can be packed into protein bars. But the bulk of otherwise those rest of the diets, they're really just focused on making sure it's nutritiously dense. So there's things that we love as a family that I would highly recommend. But finding good bread that's like a protein rich and fiber rich. So whole grain, that's really what it is. Just whole grain bread. I mean, how much we all eat bread. We love bread.
Oh, yeah,
it's delicious.
So good. Yeah.
But finding in ones that make sure that what you're eating is actually giving you something. A lot of times I think that is a product that's so processed in the United States, and that's an easy fix. Yeah. And there's some really good whole grain breads out there that taste delicious.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a big one for us. And then recently, because we're trying to get our kids to eat more fruits and vegetables because they're in a picky phase, mm-hmm. I think is we're trying to do better about incorporating fruits and veggies with like a nut butter or something that gives you protein or some healthy fats is really helpful. And for kids especially, that's a fun thing to do. But for adults, you know, things are more fun to eat if you can dip it into something that's also very flavorful and gives you some texture. So that's something that growing up, I know I was a picky kid, picky eater, and all that just means is maybe I didn't like the texture of foods. So I'd say if you're having a hard time eating maybe more of those healthy like food groups in your diet, that might be an easy way to get a bit more in.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned intermittent fasting recently, but in your opinion, how important is meal timing?
Oh, that's a great question. And maybe I'm not the best person to ask that question because I intermittent fast out of necessity. But I think everybody's body is a bit different. I think our metabolisms are really affected by genetics, and that can be a whole different, another podcast topic probably. But I believe that some people do really well with meal timing, whether it's intermittent fasting, like 8-hour windows or 12-hour windows. There's a lot new intermittent fasting research coming out about your last meal being actually at noon, and you do have breakfast, you just skip dinner. I think you probably won't know unless you've tried one of those techniques before, but I'd recommend that no one tries them unless you've consulted some really good resources that we have here on base that are open to everyone. So the Armed Forces Wellness Center has some awesome like nutritional counseling. They help you kind of create and figure out, you know, what's my goal calories per day? How can I best meet that demand based on my work schedule? So that's probably something I'd recommend before trying out some new diet or new technique, because the most important thing is you should still be eating what you need to eat to maintain like your day-to-day activities, you know?
Like really whole foods, balanced whole foods. And not processed. You mentioned the Army Wellness Center, which is a great tool, and they generally have appointment availability pretty quickly. They can also help, if you ask, develop workout plans. We also, Lister also has nutrition care that can help as well. And they have several in-body scales that will measure and give some great advice that's similar to the Army Wellness Center, but each tool is a little bit different in variation, but they're available. We've talked some about nutrition, which really, and you hear this now from a lot of folks, like whole foods is the most important, and really it's that. We've talked a lot about, you know, physical fitness and other things, but are there any other things that you guys would recommend to promote longevity or that needs to be thought about?
Yes. We just listened to Colonel Dwyer, who came for the suicide awareness a month, and he was talking about whoever's right in front of you, just to be all in with them, was what he said. All in. Just be all in with them and leave, you know, the other thoughts for other things. And I mean, that would apply to my marriage with my wife. And now that we have a son, absolutely with them. And then with, and so with our phones, I mean, I'm, you know, there's these constant distractions. My wife was swatting away my phone last night. We were at dinner with friends at their house, and I was, she was swatting my hand away. Be all in with the people that are right in front of you. And then the second thing I'd say is my sleep is really important. And so, you know, just over the years and looking at different resources or talking to different people, learning different things. So I just don't get on my phone when I'm in bed anymore. And my phone is across the room and my watch is across the room. And then we just keep everything, you know, pretty dim and dark in there. And so it's just, that's a protected time. And it just, I think of when I was in IT years ago, and you have to defragment your hard drive. You used to have to do this with like Windows, and it would take some time. Everything was in all these different places. And sleep is the same thing. You're just defragmenting your mind, everything that has happened throughout the day. It's putting it in the places that it needs. And you wake up super refreshed when you have enough sleep and you don't have any distractions.
I think I'll probably add on a physical last little gem that I think is really helpful. We rarely take, you know, every joint in our body to end range. And that just means if you stretch your pinky back all the way back towards your wrists and you go the other way, that's end range. So stretching every joint essentially in all planes of motion. The biggest things that we see that creep up is our back, knees, ankles, and shoulders. And so if you think about a lot of injuries that we like to see, I think we are seeing them more because we are becoming more and more sedentary, inactive, and we don't challenge the body like that. And so I think that's probably one last thing is start your day. If there's joints and parts of your body that just tend to be achy, maybe every morning you take that joint, maybe take 10 repetitions and you just move that joint from one end range to the other. So for instance, like your back.
Interesting.
Bend over, touch your toes. Do that 10 times. Lie on your stomach and do a little cobra stretch. Do that 10 times. Those are easy, easy, just healthy, almost like a nutritious exercise for that joint. And we found that that is a really good thing to help mitigate and prevent the effects of arthritis. And that's something that we all inevitably, you know, will generate as we get older. That's a natural part of aging. So that'll keep our body nutritious. And other things that Major Woods talked about will keep your heart, mind, and soul, you know?
Yeah. good idea.
I also think stress management is very important too, mm-hmm. especially as we continue to have jobs of increasing responsibility. But I really want to thank you both for joining me. Matt, welcome to your first of many podcasts.
Thank you. Oh, good. Yes.
And then Shelley, congratulations and wish you the best luck on your new job. And thank you for your many guest appearances.
My pleasure.
On Lister Health Talks. And to our listeners, remember, longevity isn't just about adding years to your life. It's about adding life to your years. Every workout and every meal is a small investment in the energy, strength, and joy you'll carry forward. Until next time, our care keeps them in the air.
Thank you for listening to Lister Health Talks, the podcast dedicated to keeping you and your team healthy and mission ready. Stay healthy, Fort Rucker.